Hello. Thank you for joining us today for the devotion at 1:15, and we will continue on with our This Day in Baptist History. I'd like to take a few minutes and read from the book of Nehemiah concerning, and the story that we'll read today from Baptist History is of a man that though he understood his allegiance was to God and to heaven, most importantly, he also had a strong allegiance to his country. And during the founding years of our country of America, that he cared very deeply for his country, as well as for the souls of his countrymen. And so he had a good balance there. And we understand that throughout times there have been people in history that have had an allegiance to both their country and to God in a good balance. And so one of those people would be Nehemiah, that he cared very deeply and was solely devoted to God, but he cared about his country and he cared about his homeland. And so we'll read chapter 4 of Nehemiah, not a very long chapter, but one of the more important aspects, I suppose, of the account of Nehemiah. And so Nehemiah chapter 4. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, "What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together to the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up, and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth, and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem, and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God, and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, "The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall." And our adversary said, "They shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them, and slay them, and cause the work to cease." And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, "From all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you." Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families, with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked, and rose up, and said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, "Be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, and your daughters, your wives, and your houses." And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his own work. And it came to pass from that time forth, that half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the habergeons. And the rulers were behind all the house of Judah, they which builded on the wall, and they that bare burdens, with those that laded, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And so we see that Nehemiah, as he faced issues in trying to rebuild Jerusalem, he fought for his country, and he was still devoted to God 100%. But he cared very much for his country, and even in the midst of attacks physically, he still was interested in his homeland. And we see an example of that in America's First Baptist Chaplain. And this account is actually from a few days ago, from February 5th, but I thought it was just a very good account, and so we'll read it. But it's from February 5th. It says this: "The first Baptist pastor ever to become a chaplain in the American military was the Reverend David Jones, who in 1776 was appointed to serve Colonel St. Clair's regiment. He also served under General Horatio Gates and General Anthony Wayne. He was highly trusted by General George Washington and preached to the troops at Valley Forge. The life of David Jones was filled with learning and adventure. He was reared in a hearty Welsh Baptist family and was saved early in life and trained for 3 years in the Hopewell Academy, America's first Baptist academic facility in New Jersey. He studied medicine, but doubtless was influenced by the life and ministry of David Brainerd among the Indians. For while pastoring the Freehold Baptist Church in Monmouth County, New Jersey, Jones actually became the first Baptist missionary to the Indians in Ohio on two extended tours that consumed over a year. Upon returning to the pastor in Freehold, the firmness of Jones's expression concerning a desire for American freedom rendered him unpopular. Thus, in April 1775, he accepted the call to become pastor of the Great Valley Baptist Church in Chester County, Pennsylvania. The Continental Congress called for a day of fasting and prayer on July 20, 1775, and Jones preached to an army regiment on the subject, Defense of War in a Just Cause Sinless. The die was cast, and in 1776 he left his flock to serve the first of three tours of duty with the American forces. There were few major events in the war that Jones missed, for he was at Ticonderoga, Morristown, and Brandywine. He narrowly escaped being killed at the Paoli Massacre and spent the winter with the troops at Valley Forge. So valuable was he considered by the English that General Howe offered a reward for his capture. When victory came at Yorktown in 1781, he was present for the surrender of Lord Cornwallis. Chaplain Jones was called upon to use his medical skills as well and remove bullets and even performed amputations, although he lacked the benefit of anesthetic. It might amaze some to realize that Chaplain Jones carried a pistol or a musket and was not unwilling to use it in battle. After American independence had been secured, Jones returned to the pastoral ministry, but when General Wayne requested that he serve as chaplain to the troops during the Indian War in the Northwest Territory, he responded and served from 1794 to 1796 and was present at the signing of the Treaty of Greenville. Again, the Reverend Jones returned to his pastoral duties. Incredible as it may sound, Davy Jones, at age 76, was appointed chaplain once again in the War of 1812, and he served America faithfully. One of his last public addresses was delivered to the dedication of the monument commemorating the Paoli Massacre, where he had been so close to death. Jones died on February 5, 1820, at age 84. He had served as an author, pastor, missionary, medical doctor, and chaplain. One man described David Jones this way: "In danger, he knew no fear. In fervent patriotism, he had no superiors and few equals. In the revolutionary struggle, he was a tower of strength. He was a Christian without reproach." And so we see that though some may get sidelined with an allegiance to other things, that there is a good balance that we can have and care for the countrymen, the men of our country and the people of our country, and as well as be devoted to God. And so, while our allegiance lies in heaven, we are here and we ought to make a difference where we can in the people that God has placed in our lives. And so, like David Jones and like Nehemiah, as we serve our God, we ought to serve our country, in a spiritual way and, try to be a minister to those around us. God bless you. I hope that you have a good day. We look forward to seeing you back tomorrow and as well for the church service tomorrow evening. God bless you. Have a good day.